This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. And I heard that she wanna show, oh, me who she be, I'm kinda with it, show me some more.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Do you know who this is?
Tuesdays with Elliot.
No, I don't know.
You don't know who this is?
Mm-mm.
I'm really surprised by that.
Who is it?
Jello Ball.
Yeah.
Who?
LiAngelo Ball.
Jello.
Oh, yeah, I do know it. I do know it. I know it.
I was going to say, it's someone that's big in the NBA Twitter
world. No. Well, it was really 3 days that everyone...
Didn't he perform it at halftime?
Yeah, he did. The All-Star game. But nobody watched that.
Well, the timing of that was perfect, too, because you're right. It was like a week, and the All-Star game just happened to be right there.
Right there.
He's got another one coming.
Yeah,
LiAngelo Ball does?
Yeah. Third single release.
He got a big record contract.
Yeah. He's the best Ball brother.
Oh,
well, that's not true.
Most successful?
That's not true.
Come on, man.
No, Lonzo's the...
No, Melo is already signed 280 million dollars.
Losing player.
Yeah, the issue with Melo is he's just chilling in Charlotte. Like,
he's definitely
up all
a loser.
Types of, yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Get those max deals, yeah. Man.
Hey,
shout out to LeVar Ball, man. Everybody ripped LeVar Ball.
He was right.
He's a little crazy about going about doing it. But his boys are successful.
What
he
a
was
run.
Right.
His run in that summer trying to get Lonzo drafted was unmatched.
Well, dude, remember the shoes?
But those sneakers ruined Lonzo's career.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A little insensitive to what the situation
with the
is
foot.
Going on.
Yeah, lost his foot.
You're talking about running and you talking about shoes.
True.
Come on, man. You saw the video of him lifting weights the other day.
Yeah, he's doing good. Brought him back in the public eye.
Someone needs to hire him to, like... Talk sports.
I love LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's charismatic.
Yeah.
Like, he would be good at that.
Yeah, we could have him on the... We could have an hour. Yeah, we get Wednesdays with LeVar.
I was close to ordering some of those...
I would have, too, but they were like $500 or something like that. That's a collector's item.
Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. Is it fair to label McNabb and Embiid as the face of losing in Philadelphia? 51.6% say no. 215-592-9494. Mark in Delaware. You're on WIP. What's up, Mark?
Yo, guys. Great show so far.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it.
So, Joel's been a big disappointment, you know? I mean, they've only made it past the second round. At least McNabb...
Can I ask you something? Did you think Charles Barkley was a disappointment?
Not in Philadelphia.
He wasn't in Philadelphia. So what were Charles Barkley's successes in Philadelphia?
Mike, you got me on that one.
Okay.
Did he go to the finals?
No.
Not here.
I thought he didn't with the Sixers.
No.
The Suns.
Okay. Yeah.
Did he go to the conference finals?
I
have to look it up.
They were
good the 1 year. What, like, was it 91 they were good? And they lost to the Bulls. I think the Bulls beat them.
And that was not in the conference finals, I don't think.
No, it wasn't in the conference finals, no. I think maybe it was the second round.
And then, Mark, do you think Randall was a disappointment?
No, because I actually thought that Randall was going to win the Super Bowl until he broke his ankle in the first game.
But he only won one playoff game here.
Yeah, well, I think that might have been because of the coaching with Buddy Ryan, though.
Okay. So for Randall, it was the coach's fault. And for Charles, what is the...
So Charles did go to the conference final his rookie year. He wasn't a starter.
Right,
he played 30 minutes, but...
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. They lost to the Celtics 4-1.
Oh.
According to this. The 84-85 Sixers.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
So...
Well, pro basketball references, right?
So, yeah, right. So, Mark, I'm just curious if Embiid is a disappointment, but Charles is not and Randall is not, like, do you think, what about T.O.?
T.O. was magical on the Eagles.
How many playoff games did T.O. win?
Spike, let me turn this around.
No, just to answer my question, then you can turn it around. How many playoff games did T.O. play in that the Eagles won?
I actually don't remember.
Zero,
unfortunately.
Not one. Not
I think
one.
That is...
They
not...
actually got to the Super Bowl without T.O. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I understand what you're saying, and I understand your feeling. What I'm saying is, I think the feeling is maybe a little unfair, considering how we're treating those other guys in retrospect. But go ahead. Turn it back on me.
So, how many playoff wins has Joel won?
Joel is 29-29 in the playoffs.
Wow, is he really? That's perfect.
Incidentally, Iverson is 30-41.
All right, well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I just think we are. Thank you for the call, Mark. I hear what you're saying. I feel like we're being a little unfair and a little emotional.
So I don't know if I know fully my answer to this, but like, would you say Joel's career like is more of a disappointment? Like, he obviously reached his potential, but I just don't get how you can't look back.
Here's the context, though. I agree. But also, when you go back to the beginning, most people would have guessed he wasn't even going to play.
That's true.
So to say that it was a disappointment when he came and missed the first year due to the broken foot and then got another broken foot, the fact that I think if you were to reverse engineer it, and when you say, hey, here's before, when they took Embiid, you're going to say, okay, he's going to be runner-up for MVP twice. He's going to win MVP once. He's going to have, like, as far as scoring goes, one of the greatest scorers in NBA. History, believe it or not. You would have said, we're going to get all that out of Joel after taking him, and he's not even going to play the first year. And I'm also going to tell you, he's not going to play the second year because of the same broken foot as a 7-footer. Like, I understand everything that you're saying.
And I get what you're saying, because he had a Hall of Fame career. Clearly, that's not a disappointment. There's no one in the Hall of Fame that, like, you know, looks back at their career negatively. But I also think, like, and I wonder how many times in your life you've heard the phrase "didn't get out the second round." I
mean, said it a lot.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. But just when I think about, you know, the only MVP to never be out of the second round, like, it is hard when it's just playoff success matters so much for me to. And I defended the Sixers, but ultimately I look back and like so many times they were the favorite to win. So many times they were the one seed. They had the best player in the NBA, I would think, multiple years. Right now he wasn't always 100%, but to not have accomplished anything of note with that. Is disappointing to me. Yeah.
I do think the situation around him and his injuries contribute to it as much as he contributed to it.
For sure.
I think.
And this is why they should hang MVP banners.
Oh, there we go. Okay, Elliot. So on Friday, Elliot introduced a take to you guys. Mm-hmm. Now, Elliot's most famous ridiculous take is that players should be able to bet on their own games.
Yes, and ahead of its time.
Did I also ask you if referees should be able to bet on them too?
I'm fine without refs. I don't want to fight that battle.
All right.
That's good.
So can you tell...
Can suppress those people.
Can you tell the WIP listener who maybe wasn't listening on Friday the take that you said on Friday that seemed to light everyone up?
Watching March Madness, which I think we can all agree has not been a great tournament so far.
No, disagree.
I think it would
ratings
be.
Are up.
I think it would be better for college basketball if players could play as long as they wanted. Like, there was no more years of eligibility. It was if a player wanted to play at North Carolina for 10 years, go for it. If you want to be a 33-year-old Temple Owl, go for it. Like, I think at this point, Let's stop pretending it's about athletics. And the way you know it, I'm sorry, academics. And the way you know it isn't is because you have years of eligibility. Like, we don't make kids graduate college. Like, I could keep going to college as long as I wanted, right?
So, sure. Let me ask you this. If there were 28-year-old, like, I don't know, take an NBA player who didn't leave college. Like, let's say... Let's take a really good guy who didn't leave college. Like, let's take a good guy who was in the NBA. Let's take Kevin Durant. Uh-huh. And let's say Kevin Durant never left college and was 28-year-old Kevin Durant in college. And I'm 18 and I want to go to college and play other college players because the last thing I did was play in high school. Why would I, like, where would you get new players to college?
Why would Durant stay?
Because of all this NIL money.
But he's making way more money in the NBA.
But if the essentially you're talking about making college a
minor league, essentially.
Well, no, you're talking about making it a professional league because minor leagues only make $50,000 a year.
Yes, yeah.
So essentially, you're making it a competitor to the NBA.
Yes, for a small collection of players. Like, look, Kevin Durant is going to the NBA. Like, Kevin Durant,
he could play in college for unlimited money for 15 years.
Okay, but let's say that's the case. Like, let's say we agree he could make more money at Texas. And let's just say that's the case.
Right.
Then why would I want him to go to the NBA? Like should
I don't know, because you want to be judged and measured against other NBA players?
And that's a reason he could go. But in terms of financial, if there's a player in college that could make more money next season... NIL money in college, but because of years of eligibility, he has to stop playing. Like, that's insane.
It's not insane.
I just think
you would get
would we
so many players abusing this system, especially international players.
I don't think it'd be as many as you think. But even if it is, why do you want someone who can make a lot of money playing in college to not go make money in a pro league?
As a viewer, I don't want to watch 26, 27, 28-year-old players playing against 17-year-old kids.
So
I don't want to watch that. I want to watch grown men play against grown men. I want to watch college athletes play against college athletes. Now, with this COVID nonsense, it's already the lines got blurred over the last 5 years. As people have been in college for 6-7 years now.
Right.
And somehow we've survived.
Some of these guys.
Yeah.
But if the majority of college athletics were like that, that would not be fun to watch from a competitive standpoint.
So, two things. One, I think that when you hear the idea of players staying in college, I think we think it'll end up being like a lot of really old players. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a relatively small amount of players we're talking about because, to your point, let's say there is a 28-year-old, and let's not use Durant because he's one of like the best players of all time, but a great college player like, I don't know, Jameer Nelson, who was a good pro, but let's just use him, right? St. Joe's. Ultimately, if St. Joe's can add a freshman and like use that roster spot, the colleges will move on from these guys too. But the second part of it is this. In terms of a watchable product, imagine how cool it would be if Jameer Nelson was on St. Joe's for like 8 years, right? And like he played Villanova and those group of players 4 or 5 years in a row. And they had history. And then like he had beaten them in this. So I think it would add
to... imagining that. What's appealing about that?
Because it's real rivalries. It's the same college... players going up against other college players year after year after year. It's bigger stars in college basketball. I don't think there's a lot of stars in college basketball right now. Would you agree with that? Like it's Cooper Flagg. Honestly, most of the stars I would say are probably on the women's side at this point.
Yeah.
But like,
oh, we lost Juju last night.
I know, very unfortunate. Yeah, but maybe she'll be on the Philly WNBA team if she's to come back a year.
Yeah.
But
they don't leave early.
True. Yeah. But like, I think the idea of a player staying at a college and being like a true Hall of Famer at that college, like think of how much that would mean to the people that go there, the alumni, the students. Like, I do agree there is potential for some weird parts of it, but I think mostly it would be a big positive.
Also the potential for like young students of the opposite sex and 26-year-old athletes there as well.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know what to say. Like,
well, it's not like you're talking about most of the student body is between 18 and 22 years old.
Right.
Like having essentially what you're talking about, professional athletes, because you would do it in football too,
right,
which by the way makes no sense because physically those guys could, even a guy that didn't make the, guy played 3 years in the NFL, didn't have a real NFL career, will develop physically in a way where he is playing against 18-year-olds. It's not fair.
So there's, look, I agree. If it became every player in college football, there was like an extreme example of like 28 and 18, that would maybe be a problem with this, right? But I don't think that's what it would turn into. I think it's a small group of players. And I just think at its core, why are we preventing kids that can make millions of dollars? Like, why are we kicking them out of college when they could stay and make millions of dollars instead of like guys that are great college players now but aren't going to be drafted?
Because nobody wants to see it.
I don't think that's true. I think if like someone at like Wichita State was there for 5 years, like their fans would love that.
Great.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
215-592-9494. Elliot keeps stacking bad takes like Colonial Hyundai is going to help you stack savings. Come on, man. I come up with them all the time. Stackable savings only this month at Colonial in their brand new, beautiful, state-of-the-art dealership, the grand reopening. Stackable savings just this month starts with invoice pricing, which means you are going to pay the exact same thing that Colonial pays. They don't mark it up at all. Also, on top of that, that's where the stacking comes in. You're going to get additional savings up to $3,000 in Hyundai rebates and financing 0% up to 60 months. This is only this month where you can save stacks of cash this way. Over 300 brand new Hyundais in stock, Santa Fe's and Kona's and Tucson's. Invoice pricing, 3-year complimentary maintenance on every new Hyundai purchase, and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP. What's up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Spike, Jack, Elliot, and Ike.
There we go.
What up?
Great show.
What up, Tasty?
By Elliot's reasoning, Spike, Lakener and Cherokee Parks are going to go in the Hall of Fame, right? Because they're going to stay at Duke for 10 years and win 7 titles. And then they go into the
If they can make more money staying at Duke, like
Lakener is in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's already in the Hall of Fame. But
now imagine if they had real Hall of Famers that were there for like 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe in 10 years.
If they can make the most money doing that, go for it.
Well, the object of the college basketball game is not for the players to make the most money for the most amount of time.
But the object of college is to make sure that you go there to then make money. Like
after you leave.
Correct. But let's say your senior year of college, you had a job that paid you $300,000, right?
Okay.
But they made you leave just because. Like, that's the whole reason, just because.
But they wouldn't. Because I wouldn't have a job at being a student college.
But now this is a situation some of these students are in. They're making millions of dollars in NIL money that they will not make once they are forced to leave.
The adjustment that you would have to make would have to be that the basketball team is a separate entity, that the college, that they're not students at all, and they are a pro team.
That's basically
and it's a pro
what they
league,
are now.
And it's a pro league. But
that's basically
not what
it is.
But there would be separations to this that are not in, like, and by the way, the other thing it would do is take away what people enjoy about college sports.
I think that's already happening.
Well, okay, but you're just gonna accelerate that. You're just gonna have a worse NBA. Is what you're gonna. I'm sorry, Tasty Cake. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Now, Spike, I told Jack a name, but Elliot did convince me. I had two guys in mind for winners.
Okay.
And Elliot convinced me to flip when he talked about moments and everything like that, because I was going to say Jalen, but now you got the 9-73ers, right, Spike?
Yep.
And you get Doc.
Yes.
And Doc, in 7 years, takes the Sixers to 4 NBA finals in 7 years and wins a championship. That kind of defines winning, right?
I'm confused. You're saying had Doc brought them to 4 NBA titles and won one?
No, I'm saying Doc was the winner. Doc defines winning.
Oh, Dr.
I thought you were talking about Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, because you went from this year. Okay, yeah.
Julius Erving, Elliot.
Yes.
Well, you were talking about the current Sixers, but yeah.
Yeah.
Trust that.
I forgot who I was talking to.
Yeah, no. I was thinking about Doc Rivers, too.
I was, too.
Yeah, we were all thinking about Doc Rivers. I'm sorry. Dr. J,
it's a good one.
Nah.
I just don't think he's remembered. Well, he is a winner. I just don't think...
Dr. J?
Elliot, he's remembered. You talked about moments, right? You were talking about moments.
Yeah, he has the under-the-backboard thing, which is cool.
The commercial for the NBA for 25 years was the Landsberger. Was the commercial. When they wanted to promote the NBA, Dr. J in the NBA Finals, going underneath the basket with Mark Landsberger hanging in the air... And doing that move that nobody's ever been able to. That was the commercial for the NBA for 25 years. You had to see it.
Look, Doc's a great answer. I don't know. I mean, I'll open Like, do you guys think he's like remembered as like a winner? Not that he's a loser by any stretch, but
that's I remember him as a
winner. Okay, then yeah, it's a
winner. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
By the way, I don't call him Doc. It's for Dr. J.
I was gonna say Dr. J is
Yeah.
Doc Rivers is the real Doc, not you.
Oh, all right. Well, don't let's not. Tasty Cake, you got somebody who's famous with three names?
I do, but can I give you my loser?
Oh, yeah. Times? Okay.
Okay, I'll be short.
Yeah.
So to me, what started agony for me for 20 years is when they traded Charles Barkley for this guy, Jeff Hornacek, who was an all-star in Phoenix, Spike. He came here and laid down like a dog, and then he went to Utah and was an all-star again.
And he also did this weird thing where he smelled his hand in between free throws. Do you remember that?
Didn't Joel do that?
To his kids. That was a signal to say hello to his kids.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I thought Joel did that.
No, Joel picked the underwear out of his... Yeah,
and then
sniffed
it
occasionally. Yeah. You got somebody famous with three names, Tasty Case?
Well, if this counts, like, does Sugar Ray Leonard count?
Yes. That's three names.
Of course, that's three names.
That's three names. That's a good one, Tasty Cake. You don't remember Embiid, like, really for 2 years.
So I only remember him doing it recently. I don't remember it being for years.
Well, we asked him about it in the one time Joel was on the Ricky. It was during COVID, and we asked him about it then. That was 2020.
What did he say?
So he kept doing it. He just rambled around when we asked him about it, but he did it for a while.
I think the other thing that makes Donovan and Embiid so attached is they both have a non-serious aspect to them. Like, in the way that they're just, like,
goofy.
Yeah, like Joel wanted to be Troel for a bunch of years. He wanted to, you know, he always does a thing where he tweets about, like, oh my God, even though he's watching something else. Like, I don't think that's helped Joel.
They both have a little Dwight Howard to them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, not just goofy in a way that is like, oh, come on, man. If it's your friend, it's like, oh, another bad joke from what's his name. But those
and it's
guys
also
are
something you can do if you have two rings.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Right?
Like, people love it when you're winning. Yeah.
Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, Joel Embiid is the biggest sack of crap that ever come to Philadelphia. And Elliot got
there
it right.
Is.
You know what I'm saying? He is. He got it right, man. You got these guys calling up today. I don't know what it is. They don't have no bite. They don't want to, you know, defend their argument. You know, Joel Embiid, I tell you, when you need a guy like P.J. Tucker on the floor to give you a pep talk during a playoff game, you know, you're supposed to be the star. You know, it's disheartening to me. The guy is associated with losing. That's Spike, and that's just the bottom line. I know you don't want to accept it, but you try to compare Allen Iverson's career with Joel Embiid's, they're not like us. It's not the same. You understand what I'm saying to you? Joel Embiid and Allen Iverson is two different players. When AI came into this league in 96, the Sixers was horrible.
Yes. Embiid came into the league, the Sixers were awesome.
But he didn't come in the league with that's one of the best drafts ever. That draft included Kobe.
It is the best draft ever.
The Sixers were terrible for before
you think
Embiid
better than
got
LeBron
here.
Jeff? Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Sixers were terrible when Embiid got here.
Intentionally.
Before that, they were terrible. I mean, they
were meaningless. I don't know if they were terrible.
Well, they were meaningless.
Yes, they were not title contenders.
Yes, Chuck, you're making the wrong argument here.
But no, I'm not. Hear me out, man. Well, he won Rookie of the Year that year. Okay. They never looked back from there. 98, made the playoffs. 99, made the playoffs. 2000, made the playoffs. 2001, went to the finals. Now, you swap Joel Embiid with that 2001 team. Do they make it to the finals?
Let me tell you.
I don't think so, actually.
Joel Embiid could, the wrong makeup of the team.
Yeah,
but the reason the team was made like that was because of Iverson, was because he wanted to shoot the ball every single time. Because I've mentioned before, Iverson's got a worse playoff winning percentage than Embiid does, Chuck. He does. He had one great run here. That's he does, and Embiid doesn't. But he had one great run where he lost.
He did not have one great run.
Yes, he did.
When you look at Allen Iverson in the biggest stages of the game, he felt his presence. You felt his presence. And it was guys like Matt Hartbring. Tony Kukoc was washed up.
Those guys are no Nick Batum and Buddy Hield.
Those guys would him. Yeah, but if he would have had Ben Simmons.
Oh, what would he have done with Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons was a good player when he first came in.
What would he have done with Ben Simmons? I'm sure he wouldn't have gotten frustrated at all when he got him an open shot and he put his head down and dribbled into three people and then threw it back out again.
Well, he was a Robin. That's the point you're not getting. Joel was Batman. Everybody you're trying to blame, he was a, they were rough. You know what I mean? Even Hart. When Hart, you say Hart gave up in that Boston series, but he won us two games. And he dropped 43.
Yeah, and B didn't win us any games in any series. He didn't win us any games.
He did have the Raptor shot.
He's won plenty of games. All the games they won were because of him.
Yeah.
Well, Maxie last year against the Knicks.
Yeah.
Joel
and in that same series, Embiid scored 50. And one when they were down 2-0.
Never been the best player on the court in the second round ever.
Well, sure he
ever.
Has.
Jalen okay. Brunson last year, Jimmy Butler against Miami. You understand what I'm saying? It was Boston. It was Jason Tatum.
Jimmy
it was
Butler. Oh, okay.
Do you think Trae Young was better in that series?
Trae Young was scary. His numbers don't really add up, but we were terrified.
Yeah, he averaged like I think like a 28-11 or something.
Yeah, but that's what Trae does. Right, are you done, Chuck?
No point with Spike. No point with you, Spike, with Jordan.
Because you're boring.
You want to make this guy bigger than what he is.
No, I make him exactly what he is.
Happened. It has nothing to do with the injuries, okay?
Oh, yes, it had nothing to do with the injuries.
For the biggest games, he called out against Toronto.
What would you know about big games, little guy?
He could have been up 3-2.
Okay.
You can say little all you want.
Yeah.
You can't beat me in no athletic sport.
Oh, okay.
And I don't care what it is. So
okay.
You can say little all you want.
Okay.
I don't care about none of that. I'm 5'8".
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 5'8".
No, you're
what
not.
What does that have to do with the price?
5'8 in heels.
Okay. Man, I'm right. I sat there and I slipped your hand right in front of you. But I had nothing to do with it. You're immature for breaking
okay.
up my height.
All
I'm
right.
talking about Joel Embiid.
Okay.
A little hissy fit when somebody ever talks about your player.
That's not true. You're the one throwing a hissy fit.
I can't believe he's still on his team.
You're the one throwing a hissy fit.
Because the Sixers won't be any good because he sucks.
Okay.
And that's just the bottom line.
Okay. How many shows did you call today saying the same thing?
I didn't call any shows.
Okay, all right, just making sure.
I'm not calling like that anyway. Because I called this show because you're bringing up this ignoramus topic.
All right.
And you're trying to pit up Joel Embiid, you know, next to players like Allen Iverson and Jalen Hurts, who's won championships.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts, who's won a championship and played two of the biggest games in the NFL in the Super Bowl. And every time it's a big game, NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl.
Now, I forgot you're a Jalen guy. We'll delete all the tapes, Chuck.
I'm more of a Jalen guy because he shows heart.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Joel Embiid has no heart.
Okay.
He never had a will
Are
to
you
win.
Done yet, Chuck? Okay. We got to go to
and
break.
I guess you can relate to that.
Because I don't have any heart. Well, I'm you standing here taking punches from you at my waist.
All
right. There we go. Thank you, Elliot.
Always an entertaining call. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to. I'm not going to yell at him when he does the whole Joel sucks thing and he's like, I don't know what to do anymore.
I think 5'8 is a perfectly great height.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, when you see what 5'8 actually looks like, we know what.
Well, I'm 5'9. So.
Okay. There we go. All right. Thank you, Elliot. You can get
fun times.
You can get Go Birds Daily wherever you get your podcasts every single day, Monday through Friday, be in your feed when you wake up.
Slim pickings right now with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Still got stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Coming up next, the return of Mount Rushmore and the battle between DeCamera and Fritz heats up.
A battle.
DeCamera is not backing down.
He's excited about this.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. And your calls as well, 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.